Hibbard comes home. The pitch swung on and missed. The throw to second is in time. It's a strike him out, throw him out.
Kick it out left corner. DeAndre wide open for three. He hit it again.
Raider going deep over the middle. Caught. Rucker across midfield, and he's going to take it all the way to the house. 79 yards.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast, the A-State podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, volleyball with a winning weekend. The golf and tennis teams get off to really good starts to begin their seasons. Soccer beginning conference play. But we're going to spend most of our time talking football today. The Red Wolves welcomed the highest-ranked opponent to ever come to Jonesboro Saturday, falling to 14th-ranked Iowa State, 24-16. Red Wolves played really well on a very hot Saturday. Temperature was at 95 at kickoff. It was upwards of 112 on the turf. Game went down to the wire. Looked like the Red Wolves had taken the lead in the fourth quarter, but a phantom holding call by the Big 12 officiating crew taking points off the board. The Big 12 has since issued an apology to Coach Butch Jones. Big deal, right?
Yep. File that back with the other apology they filed back against Texas. We'll just put that in our Big 12 apology file.
We've had a couple of them now. Still a big step forward for this football team. And one former A-State great was in attendance to see it. Played for the Red Wolves from 2012 to 2015. He won three conference championships in those four seasons. And we are thrilled to welcome him in as our special guest today. Hello, Rocky Hayes.
Hey there, Matt. I appreciate you giving me the time to hop on here with you, buddy. It's been a while, and I look forward to speaking with you.
We want to catch up on everything you're doing, but I want to start with what happened Saturday, Rocky, because as a former player, somebody who loves Arkansas State, loves this program, take us through your emotions watching the Red Wolves almost pull off an upset of a top 15 opponent.
Yeah, honestly, my first reaction was just impressed. I haven't really kept up with them and watched them too often here of recent. And so I was a fan on Saturday. I didn't really come in with any expectations. The guys were flying around. Coach Butch has really got them boys locked in. I think that heat kind of got the best of Iowa State a little bit because it was hot out there. It was hot out there, and it's not really something you can prepare for. But the guys pushed through it. We made a couple boneheaded decisions at the end, some preventable mistakes that stopped them from getting the win. But they played hard, man. I think what's most important is this: it's going to provide them a lot of momentum moving forward, you know.
Remember anything about playing in any particularly hot games?
Shoot, so many. So many, man. I wouldn't say anyone in particular, but it tend to always be pretty hot, man. I think the thing that really that you struggle with in one of those hot games is just your feet being on fire, you know, with the turf. And like he said, it's 112 on the field, and you really feel it on the bottom half of your feet. It makes all the difference in the world to be able to push through that. It's really a mental game.
Yeah, you talk about the mental game, and that's one thing that Coach Jones really pushed through to his players last week, and it seemed like they did have the mental advantage. Hey, we're used to this heat, and when you're playing somebody that's not as used to it, it can be an advantage, and you kind of want your guys to embrace that, right?
100%. It's really about who reacts first to any adversity, and heat just being one of them. But it's the team that reacts positively quicker than the other that gives them that edge. And then sometimes you can hold on to that edge, and it's hard for that opposing team to really gain that momentum back. And that's what we were doing, man. Our defense was what was crazy impressive, seeing those boys fly around and stand up to the challenge that Iowa State brought on. Because they are, I know they're 14, but they're a top 10 team in the nation. They're really, really good all the way around. They're very, very thorough from top to bottom. And our guys did not flinch at all. It reminded me of the Missouri game when we hosted Missouri back in the day, and we almost pulled that one off and fell a little bit short.
And I tell you, Freddie doesn't get hurt in that game. I always tell people that. I mean, he gets hurt, midway through the third, and we had all the momentum. I think if he doesn't get hurt, we win that game.
I agree, and I actually talked to Grizz about that this weekend, me, him, and Gurley, and Booker, and some of the other cats, but yeah, man, it was just a lot of good memories, dude. A lot of winning, you know, a lot of positive things. It was just good to get out there and see everybody. It really, truly was. I need to come back more often.
Same for Rocky, but I think I walked out with Gurley. Put him in. He can play right now.
I'm telling you. I feel like it's funny because, like you were saying earlier, obviously I coach with JT and Q Lee now. And me and Q, we joined the scout team on our scout defense. So the guys are getting a pretty good look every day with me and Q on the scout team.
Wow. Okay. So I want to get into this, and you just dropped kind of the next thing I wanted to get into, because you're living in the Atlanta area now. But fans will be interested to hear kind of what you're up to. I know you've had success in real estate, but you're trying this coaching thing as well, and you're coaching with your former defensive coordinator here at A-State, John Thompson, who's the head coach at Fellowship Christian there in Atlanta. And another guy on staff happens to be Keyshawn Lee. So tell us about hooking up with JT and Q, and how much fun are you guys having right now?
Oh, we're having a blast. We've got a great group of young guys at Fellowship Christian. But it was honestly kind of just like a spontaneous hookup when I first moved to Atlanta. Coach Thompson actually reached out to me a few years ago, but I haven't relocated to Georgia yet. So I obviously couldn't take the job opportunity at the time. But it's been awesome. So we wanted to reconnect. We did lunch one day at the football facilities, which are amazing. And then he kind of just gave me his pitch and his spiel about how much talent they had. And they've had a lot of success over the last couple of years, making it to the Final Four a couple of times and just falling short. And we got an older team now, so he just really felt like this was the time to take a real shot at this thing and try to go get the trophy. So he revamped this coaching staff a bit, and we've got all ex-players. Q Lee's obviously our defensive coordinator. He's doing a phenomenal job, man. Just a football guy. I coach our back end, and then we have Ben Davis, who actually played at the University of Alabama, coaching our linebackers right now. And then JT's just kind of our supervisor. It's funny, though, because it's like the older we get, Q Lee turns into JT, and I'm it's very funny to like watch them interact. And it just brings back all the good memories. But I never really had aspirations of becoming a coach. I miss ball, but I think more than anything, I missed a brotherhood in the locker room that came with being on a football team, and just reconnecting with my old guys kind of scratched that itch for me, you know.
How much stuff does your defense run from what you guys ran here? Terminology, same? I mean, would people recognize it if they saw your defense?
Matt, let me tell you, we are definitely running a D1 college division defensive playbook here. It changes every week. We're doing install every Monday. We're going to do one again today. It's a very, very complex defense, but our guys, they're hooked onto it. We've got a lot of good football players on our team. A lot of guys are just going to play Division I football as well. But, yeah, there is nothing simple about Fellowship Christian defense. Nothing simple at all.
Yeah, I know that you were a captain and certainly a high IQ player, but just being on the coaching side now, do you have a whole different level of respect for what these guys do?
Oh, 100%. One of the first things I said to JT was, and listen, I apologize for all the attitude I gave you back in the day. I just didn't realize there was so much work in the back end of this thing. You know, I apologize for it, man. But it's a lot, man. It really is a lot. I kind of really underestimated the time that's put into it. But it has given me a different respect for the game. It's allowed me to see it through a different lens, you know. And it's just such a blessing to be able to still live the game and play the game through these kids. And man, I'm just grateful. Just grateful.
You and Q play scout team defense. You know, what's that look like? Yeah. Are you guys untouchable? I mean, what's it look like when you're on the field?
No, listen, these hamstrings do not open up like they used to. But I can give the kids a good look. So, I mean, I usually typically play safety. Q will play linebacker. We're at a private school, right? So our numbers are just not huge like that. So sometimes we have to insert ourselves to make sure our guys are getting a good look and getting prepared properly. And it's turned into something that we look forward to doing now and days. We send messages to the guys all the time. If I make a couple plays during practice, I'll text a player or two and just, you know, just have a good time with the guys. But yeah, we do it every day, man. So I will say I'm a little sore today, though, because we practiced hard last week. I'm still feeling it. My body don't bounce back like it used to.
First National Bank's roots run deep in Northeast Arkansas. We began a single Paragould branch with one idea: customers first. By focusing on the best products banking has to offer and valuing the highest level of service, we're now 23 branches across Arkansas and Tennessee. As First National Bank grows, our roots only get deeper, and the mission remains the same: you first, always. Learn more about our products and services at fnbank.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Continuing to visit with Rocky Hayes here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Rocky with one of the more exciting and one of the more interesting careers in recent memory. Three conference championships in four seasons at A-State. But Rocky, you excelled it on both sides of the ball. And a lot of people remember, I mean, you eventually turned into an all-conference corner, but your true freshman season is still very vivid in many memories around here. In 2012, Coach Malzahn puts you at running back to begin your A-State career. And here's something that I don't think a lot of people know. You had 538 yards that season on just 58 carries, a school record 9.3 yards per rush. So what do you remember about that 2012 season and playing running back to begin your career?
I remember all of it. I watched the games back often. I loved it, man. That was one of the main reasons I came to Arkansas State, was because I knew I was going to have the opportunity to play offense. That's my love. You know, I love to have the ball in my hands, which is why when I did switch over to corner, I kind of focused on getting interceptions, because it still kind of gave me that feel of being on the offensive side of the ball. But yeah, it was a great year, man. It's funny too, because although I played all those snaps on defense, it's like for this weekend, for example, when I would run into old fans and people would recognize me, it was always the offensive plays that they want to call out, like the touchdown in Lafayette and things like that. But yeah, I love it. I try to tell the kids nowadays, because our kids at Fellowship, like I said, we don't have a ton of players, so a lot of guys play both ways, and try to tell them back in my day, you know, we all played every snap of every game, and now I sound like the old man that I never thought I'd turn into. But yeah, dude, that freshman year, it really set me up. It was my foundation for my college career. I'm thankful for Gus for giving me the opportunity to do that, and I'm just glad I made the plays. I didn't know that was a record, though, so that's news.
You mentioned the big run against the Cajuns. I remember that night very well, and just seeing you guys run all over that team, a really good Cajun team, and you go into their house on national TV, and you had that 57-yard run where you were just running away from everybody. And I remember that as just one of the big highlights in your career. Where does that stand among your favorite individual moments?
Yeah, it's definitely top three for sure. Obviously, just hoisting the trophy up multiple times is at the top of the list. But that touchdown was special to me. It's interesting, because during the week, Gus would, he had like a thing where he would always, I guess he watched film at late hours of the night. So that particular week, he sent me a text. It was probably like 1:30 a.m. And he said, that play is going to bust. He said, when I call this play, expect to score. And when I showed up and came out there, I heard Purple Cardinal, which was the name of the play at the time. And I'm sure it's probably the same. He still runs the same offense, even at Florida State. He's never going to change. But yeah, he told me, he said, Rocky, this one's going to hit. So when I call it, expect to score. And so when I got that ball, man, I was just running with my life on the line. And I had every expectation of scoring, and I'd be doggone. We actually got in the end zone, and definitely one of the highlights of my college career, without question, man. My parents still have a picture of that. It's like a screenshot of the ESPN top 10 when it was on ESPN the very next day, and they have that in their home. But it's a very special moment for me.
We'll talk about making that move to defense after that, but as a young guy, I mean, you know, Coach Malzahn's the guy, I guess, that gets you to come to Arkansas State, and all of a sudden you guys are riding high, finish the season, and then you got to find out he's gone. So as a young guy, for sure, and a young guy that was your guy, that's kind of who your wagon was hitched to. What was it like to, as a life lesson, to deal with your coach leaving?
Just kind of takes the breath out of you. There was a lot of uncertainty for a couple of weeks. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. Didn't know if I wanted to stay. Didn't know really what the situation was. Because, you know, coaches see different things in different players. So I just didn't know if the new coaching staff would see me in the same light as Gus did. So for a while there, it was rough, man. But what it did tell me, though, was the guys in that locker room, we all had each other's back. I remember me and Chris Humes hosting a freshman meeting in our dorm room, in our small little dorm. We had the whole freshman class in our dorms, and everybody's just like, okay, guys, how are we feeling? What do we want to do? And then that day, I remember Derek Keaton was in there. He eventually left. But we all decided, hey, we're going to rock this thing out together, regardless of who comes in and who's our leader. We're just going to take care of this together. It made us all closer. I mean, ultimately, I think that's why we had so much success. We obviously had a very, very talented team. But what I think that really was the main difference is the chemistry in our locker room. And we really cared about each other, man. And it still shows to this day with the relationship I have with Q Lee, you know, and obviously JT. We really loved on each other. We really played hard for each other. And ultimately, that's why we always won as a team.
After the Middle Tennessee win, which is right there at the very top of the greatest moments in Arkansas State football history, you win a conference championship. But right after, Coach Malzahn is gone. And the interim head coach is JT. Coach Thompson takes over. So I remember during this process him telling me that we're going to move Rocky over to defense. I want to know just how quickly he came to you with the idea of making that change, and what was your initial reaction to that?
It was one of those moments where I was apologizing to JT for my attitude. Did not take it well. Just being a kid, man. Just being a kid, being a knucklehead, stubborn, you know, just not seeing the bigger picture, I guess, in a way. But it warmed up to me. Ultimately, it was what was best for the team, and I came around. But, yeah, to answer your question, I did not initially take it well. He dropped it on me pretty quickly, honestly. I remember as soon as Gus left, that's why it was such a whirlwind of emotions. It's just like I lost my coach and now they're changing me in positions. It was a lot going on and it happened very, very quickly. But JT was one of those coaches where you always felt like he really cared about you. He wasn't blowing smoke up your butt. And so when he said things, he did it in a way that really made you believe him and made you feel like he was on your side. So he really helped me get through that moment. We were actually, man, petitioning for him to get the head job for a while. And we thought that he had a good chance, but ultimately they went a different route. But we always loved JT. And quite honestly, if it wasn't JT giving me that information, I don't know what would have happened. You know, if it would have been the new coaching staff giving me that information, I don't know, Matt. I don't know what would have happened.
So, look, we're glad it went the way it went. But, I mean, I'll just ask you honestly. In the transfer portal era, what are the chances you would have stayed through a coaching change?
Bobo, let me tell you, man. I don't know. I think it would have been a much more serious conversation, obviously, right? Because I would have real options. Back in those days, changing schools was a life-changing situation. You would have to sit out a year, and it was a lot of uncertainty involved. But what I do know is the guys in that locker room, I'd rode for them the same way they ride for me. So I think it would have been a difficult decision to leave them hanging. So I would like to think that I probably would have ended up staying. But I can't give you – it depends, man.
Yeah.
I've seen some checks these kids are getting. And well,
yeah. And you get it because of the kind of checks you're talking about. But at the same time, you hear from you and so many other guys about just how close this team is, how close this group of guys is that won all those conference championships. And, you know, I know you played for three different head coaches, but there are a lot of guys that played for five head coaches in 5 years, as many as five head coaches during their time at Arkansas State. So they always say just how it made them stronger and how it made them deal with adversity. Can you imagine if it were the transfer portal and NIL with that 2012 team that had just won 45-0 in the conference championship game, how much money would have been thrown around back then and how many schools would have been trying to poach the entire roster after Coach Malzahn left?
It would have been extremely difficult. I mean, when you get to thinking like that, I mean, you've got to be realistic. It would have been very difficult to hold on to guys like J.D. McKissick and Q Lee and Darian Griswold. You know, guys, like, it would have been very, very difficult.
And Rocky Hayes.
It would have been tough, man. It's a whole new world in college football. And on one side of the coin, I get it. And I'm glad the players are getting taken care of. But I do think it needs to be maybe regulated a little bit better just so it doesn't feel like the Wild Wild West. And there's not so many moving parts all the time. It almost feels like the NFL. Again, the purity really isn't the same as it used to be.
We're really glad you stuck around because you played three more years after that freshman season. You started at corner all 3 years and all conference corner. It turned out to be the right move for you.
Yeah.
You won a conference championship in 2013 under Coach Harsin, another one in 2015 under Coach Anderson. But when you look back at your legacy at Arkansas State, what are you most proud of?
What I think I'm most proud of, and I don't think it has anything to do with football. I think all of the football success And I mean, I speak for myself, but I think all the guys that were in that locker room with me would have the same opinion. I think the football success was expected. And I don't want to sound arrogant, but we knew we were good. We knew how hard we worked. I think what I'm most proud of are all of the positive and healthy relationships that I built over the years through Jonesboro. When I first started in real estate, obviously it's not in Arkansas, but I would post it on social media, and it was a really, really rough time in my life because I was going from football to actually transitioning into the real world and didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life, and put it on Facebook and all these things that I was doing real estate now, and I'm going to be real estate Rocky, right? But a lot of the support that came online was Jonesboro fans, man, Arkansas State. And I think it's those relationships that I cherish the most. I think it's that support and that sense of community is what I really, really am proud of. Because the older I get, it's really the simple things, man. And it's really relationships that matter. I mean, I made a lot of good ones in Jonesboro, and I'm thankful for that.
All right. You mentioned your wife. You mentioned your daughter. Tell us about your family.
Yeah. So obviously, I met my wife in Arkansas State. She's from Toronto. She was on the women's soccer team there from 2012 to 2015. I actually think she may have a record of her own. But we have a daughter. She's 2 years old now. Her name is Ayla Marie. Hopefully she's an athlete. Fingers crossed. We'll see. We're going to love her anyways. But this is my first time. This is my first time bringing us coming back to campus. It's been a long time since I've been back to Jonesboro. But just experiencing that with her and taking photos. There's a couple of pictures of me in the new facility and just taking photos with her in the facility and just reminiscing. And man, it's special, man. You know, it's special. Makes you feel old, but it's so special. It's something that I'll hold on to and hopefully try to get back up there soon.
Well, Rocky, it's great catching up with you. I'm glad you were able to come back this past weekend and kind of reliving this stuff. Kind of makes you smile and some really, really great memories. Tell JT and Q Lee hello for us.
I sure will, guys. I'm actually about to head to the facilities now, so I'll let them know you guys said hey, and I appreciate you guys taking the time, man, to speak to an old-timer.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Volleyball played at the UCF Invitational over the weekend. Took 2 of 3 matches, so a good weekend for Coach Gerwig's crew. They swept FAU Friday morning. Lost to the host team, Central Florida, on Friday night, and then swept Brown on Saturday. They're now 4-4 on the season. I was looking at their strength of schedule. I think it's like 43rd in the nation right now. They played some really good opponents. They'll be on the road this weekend playing at the Razorback Invitational.
The what?
Alternate universe
Hey, this is the first one of these for volleyball. You know, another first got all the talk, but even since Arkansas has changed its philosophy, these volleyball teams hang cross paths. So it'd be fun to see them get together Saturday. Kind of the highlight match, you know, 3 games and 3 matches in 3 days in Fayetteville, capped off by Arkansas and A-State. I think in Barnhill, maybe their volleyball plays in Barnhill.
Should be fun wherever it is played. And I'm looking forward to seeing how our girls perform. Of course, they already have a victory this year over an SEC opponent with that win over a top 25 Missouri team.
Well, they've played 3 matches against the SEC already, and all 3 of them have gone 5. And
here's another opportunity here. So, again, they'll be at the Razorback Invitational. Thursday, they'll take on North Dakota State. Friday, Southern Illinois. And then Saturday, 2 o'clock start time for that match against Arkansas. Soccer began Sunbelt play Sunday. Played a scoreless tie against Troy. Very hot Sunday afternoon. They're now 2-1-3 on the season. They've played 6 matches, and half of them have ended in ties. They'll be on the road Thursday in Lafayette. That'll start at 7 o'clock, and then they'll be back home Sunday afternoon at 1 to take on ULM.
Yeah, I know people feel different ways about ties, but it is what it is. And I'm sure Coach Dooley, and you understand the level of competition is going to jump up when you get to conference play. But he's like, hang on, we scored 10 goals last week. in a match, but you just know you're going to get kind of the defensive effort this team has given traditionally, and hope you get one across the net. And neither team did on Sunday.
What a start to the season for the men's golf team. Big time performance. They were at the Whirlwind Invitational in Maricopa, Arizona. They finished second out of 12 teams in the event. The Red Wolves finished 40 under as a team. It was the fourth lowest 54-hole total in program history.
And I think it's the lowest
of, outside of Jonesboro.
Yeah, because you know, they've gone crazy low in their home event a few times. Lowest team score outside of Jonesboro.
Thomas Schmidt and Chris Summerfield both finished 10 under. That was good enough for a tie for eighth individually. And the men will be right back in action again this weekend. They'll be at the William H. Tucker Invitational that will be played in Albuquerque. Women's golf also off to a good start. They finished fifth out of 20 teams at the Golf Week Fall Challenge. That was at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. And they'll be back in action this Saturday through Monday. They'll be at OU at the Schooner Fall Classic. So MJ, Davey, and Shaw back at her old
going to the
stomping
alma mater,
grounds.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe in the second round of their tournament, I think they had the round of the day that kind of catapulted them up the leaderboard. And so, yeah, good solid start for that bunch.
Tennis with a good solid start. They opened the fall season at the Memphis Invite. That program has really taken some huge strides the last couple of years under Coach Sujay Lama. They left the Memphis Invite with 18 victories in the 3 days. They took all nine matches against Ball State Friday, and then Saturday won seven matches against Middle Tennessee. And then they won a couple of matches on Sunday against the host team, Memphis. But all in all, a really solid performance by the tennis team.
Yeah, I think Memphis is a program that was in postseason play last year. I mean, a conference championship-type program over there in their league. So it is pretty phenomenal what Coach Lama has done and continues to do. And I hope if you're listening to this, obviously chances are you're plugged in enough to know, but hopefully more people will catch word of kind of just the huge strides this tennis program is making.
And they've redone the courts out
there.
And they look really good. Cross country, they're going to be back in action this weekend. They'll be at the Rhodes College Invitational Saturday in Memphis. Football.
Well, now,
no, go ahead.
You're going to start talking about Kennesaw State, and that's all well and good, but we didn't really get a chance to talk a whole lot about Iowa State back in the open because we were getting into that conversation with Rocky.
Well, I did want to get back into that.
Okay.
You're right. You and I really haven't had just our conversation. So
we have not.
We're
so
going to have it
you
here
guys
on
are
the
having
air.
This with us. Yeah, because we have not talked about this at all.
So I'm going to ask you the same question that I would have asked you as soon as I ran into you. Were you getting a little nervous about 20 minutes before kickoff that the crowd was going to be super light?
Well,
because I was.
Yeah. Yes. And it's hard because, like, man, you just hope that's not the case, but it's not like you don't get it. It's not like I don't understand. Like, it's a mixed message, right? We're sitting here telling everybody, hey, this thing's on ESPN2. Come help us put on a show. Now, it's going to be really, really hot. So here are some XYZ precautions we're taking. But you mix those messages up, what you hear is, it's going to be really hot and it's on ESPN2. I mean, right. I mean, it just is what it is. And so, yeah, I was concerned. But then I looked to my right, even at the end of the game, it's funny. I look out to my right because from my booth where I'm sitting, you know, I see suites. Those suckers were sold out. It was a sellout in the tower.
Yeah, the tower was definitely full,
so
and it should have been.
Like, everybody's wondering, you announced that crowd. Where are all these people? They were in the tower.
And then the fans in the stands.
Oh.
I don't even know where to start with this because 20 minutes before kick, it did look bare, and you're starting to worry a little bit. But right at kickoff, it looked very different because we have a lot of smart people in our fan base that did wait and stayed either on the concourse and in the shade or out in their cars in the AC for as long as they could. You know, within 10 minutes of kickoff, we started looking out and you see these long lines of people that are starting to file in to the stadium. And all of a sudden, the seats are starting to fill up a lot more. And we're thinking, oh, this is going to be okay now. And it was. And it was okay as far as number of people. But, man, they made a difference. Yeah. I mean, that crowd was vocal. And on a day where it was blistering hot outside, I thought they brought it all day long.
We've talked here before on this podcast and off the air, too, about how sometimes that crowd that might be 12,000 to 15,000 people, and typically, especially if it's really cold, we don't really do it where it's been so hot it affects the crowd. Usually it's late in the year if it gets really cold. But we talked before, that crowd of 12,000 to 15,000 people sometimes makes more noise than a crowd of 18 or 20, because that 12 or 15 are really plugged in. They're really in it. They're with you. And that was the deal, even to a larger scale Saturday. That crowd was plugged in, engaged in the game. You know this from being in the radio business. So, like, radio and making a game script for a ball game are pretty similar in that you have to have something scheduled all the time. You can't have dead air.
Sure.
And it's the same for what I'm doing. Like, right, there just can't be a time where nothing's happening. My favorite thing to do is to have to alter the plan or change it or get in the ear of somebody, the audio guy or whoever, and say, hey, turn this down. My favorite thing is when the Arkansas State Red Wolves chant starts itself. I will try to get out of whatever we got going on to let that happen. And sometimes it's not possible, and I apologize, but just know that it's my favorite. Regardless of what's on the script is supposed to be happening, I will always try to clear the way when that chant starts itself, because that's when you know you got them. They're with you. And that happened multiple times Saturday.
It gives you chills when you hear it sometimes.
Yeah, I love it. When it's organic like that.
And look, the crowd was in it from the start. But when you started to sense that, hey, we may have a chance to win this ball game, I mean, they turned it into a different gear. And you and I are both really good friends with Brandon Baxter. Early in the fourth, he was down in the student section and he was doing something on the video board. And I looked down there and I said, my man. Yeah. I mean, he was absolutely bringing it. And it was enough so where I even brought it up on the broadcast, where I think I said, I don't know if Dwayne the Rock Johnson could have fired up the crowd even.
So there are two times in a game, once in the pregame and once in the third quarter break, that those are, quote, in the script, those are just Brandon Baxter promos. And that's all the script says. Even when I give him a PA script that basically has everything he says for everything, it doesn't say anything in those two spots. It's just, hey, you do you. Because, number one, and look, I mean, and it is too, like, it is him getting to tap into the wrestler part of him in
sure.
those promos. But then, like, you could tell when it's at a different place. And Saturday was at a different place because he understood the situation too. He knew all of a sudden, hey, we got a chance to really do something here, and he did a phenomenal job. I could hear it in his voice the rest of the fourth quarter that he emptied the tank at that promo.
Well, hey, he left it all out there.
He absolutely did.
Just like the team did. It was just really, really special. The whole environment. I will tell you this, and I know you'll understand where I'm coming from. I don't think I've ever had more fun calling a loss in my life. 21 years of doing this, I had a blast Saturday calling that game.
Especially when you think of, you know, not a lot of points being scored. I mean, you would think kind of a little bit of a slobber knocker. You think, well, that's not very much fun to call. But yeah, it was. It was just fun to watch us sort of, you know, the leopard change its spots and say, you know, we're going to go ball control offense here. And done masterfully.
How good was Keith Heckendorf the other day? The game he called. And Jalen running that option. And the RPO game was phenomenal. I mean, Iowa State was on their heels for most of that ball game because of what we were doing offensively.
It was well done. And, you know, that defense took its lumps from what had happened the week before. And, man, they responded great. You can be disappointed about the outcome, and that's fine, but there was nothing to be discouraged about.
My gosh, no.
Saturday. Man, it was fun. And like I said, the crowd was a big part of that. So, man, thank you. Even if you were part of that sellout crowd in the tower and not down in the stands, I still thank you because that's what, I mean, it's all about. If you think the 14th ranked team in the country had a hard time winning in that, so why make it hard on some other people? Four more chances to make it hard on people. And I just convinced you, when our team gets to play in that environment, man, there's not going to be a lot of teams get out of here with a win. And so thank you to everybody. Because, look, it was a lot. It was hot. I understand. And especially, look, if you're sitting in that east side Saturday, you were not getting a break from it. A lot of times you'll show up for the season opener and you know it's going to kick at 6 and the sun's going to be blaring on you for the first half. Well, this time it wasn't the first half. You kind of knew when you got in that east side and that student section that you were in for it all day long, and people just stuck in there. The band, the Sound of the Natural State, stuck in there, and they were awesome. The high school band kids that were there.
They didn't quit like that Lafayette band.
They did not quit like the Lafayette band did back in the day. So just, hey, thanks to everybody, and hopefully this team's got a great chance to maybe go pick up a couple on the road and really have some juice behind them when they get back to the vault first Saturday in October.
All right, so we got to follow up that performance now.
You sure do.
Going on the road, non-conference finale this week, a place we've never been. Kennesaw, Georgia, taking on Kennesaw State, Saturday at 5.
I saw something over the weekend, unrelated to our game at all. I don't know if you've seen this, too. This is the smallest FBS stadium in the country.
I've been scouting that out. They play in a stadium called Fifth Third Stadium. And
that's a confusing bank, isn't it? Fifth Third Bank.
Like when you see the Fifth Third Baptist Church.
I think someone was on their third fifth.
Well, it's tiny. You can fit more people in First National Bank Arena than you can this football stadium. The listed capacity is 11,000. They built it in 2010. I think they also use it for soccer and lacrosse there in the Atlanta area. But you know how our broadcast booths are usually up high. I need a spotter most places I go. I don't think I'm going to need a spotter at this place. I'm going to be able to see really, really well.
That's players standing in your way.
The only other time I can remember that is when we went to Idaho and played in the Kibbe Dome.
Yeah.
Back in 15.
And before FAU got their stadium, you know, they played at essentially a high school municipal type place.
Yes.
That, like that.
That probably is really similar to what we're seeing. Now, I think this is a lot nicer than what FAU used to have.
I absolutely would agree with that.
But the other storyline in this is the head coach at Kennesaw State is Jerry Mack, a former A-State player back in the early 2000s. And his outside linebackers coach is Granville Eastman. He was a GA on that staff that Mike Tomlin was on back in the late 90s here at Arkansas State. So a couple of A-State connections.
That's interesting. And, you know, team that has just gotten up to FBS, they're going to be well coached. They're going to have good athletes. And, right, we're sitting here and we can kind of cut up about the size of the stadium or whatever, but that's got nothing to do with the quality of their football team.
No. Week one, they lost by one at Wake Forest. So,
and I think maybe with a missed field goal and a missed extra point in there, I think.
Yeah, so they went toe-to-toe with an ACC opponent in week one with a chance to win. So it's not going to be easy. I think folks in Vegas have it right around a touchdown spread. Arkansas State's the favorite, but again, it's never easy to win on the road. Good teams win on the road, though, and hopefully Arkansas State can pick up their first road win Saturday.
5 o'clock.
Hopefully we'll have even more fun than we had last week.
It's going to be hard. I mean, the only thing to be more fun is getting the win, but that is more fun still yet. For all the nice stuff we said about Iowa State, it's still more fun to win.
It was a whole lot of fun talking with Rocky Hayes as well. Really, really appreciate him jumping in. And, you know, that all came about thanks to our buddy Darian Griswold. And they went out after the game the other night. And I said, man, Rocky'd be great on the podcast. So Rocky told us that he'd hop on. And, man, really great kind of reliving some of our favorite memories at Arkansas State.
You're going to be down there Friday night. You need to see how far away you are from Fellowship Christians ball game Friday night.
We need to check that out. That'd be really cool to go see that. Hey, thanks again to Rocky for joining us today. We hope you join us again next week for our next edition of the Second to None podcast presented by Kavanaugh Auto Group and First National Bank.